200 miles per hour, vertical takeoff and landing, and as simple to drive as a car? I'm Paul Plack, and this is Aero News. Welcome into this Aero News special feature, and thanks for downloading us today. And welcome back to Oshkosh and Whitman Regional Airport. On Thursday, Jay Carter Jr., the President and Chief Engineer of Carter Aviation Technologies, held a press conference. And while the main purpose was to announce partners in the development of the Carter personal air vehicle, Jay also took a few minutes and talked about the capabilities of this upcoming craft, which has been a little mysterious until now. We have some excerpts and highlights today.
We flew the first one for about 7 years. In fact, as we did our first public flight here in 2002, and so we're getting really close now to flying the four place. It's incorporated a whole lot of what we learned in the first one, and as we get closer and closer to flying, why it's starting to get pretty exciting. This one has lots of capabilities. It's got the ability to fly a long distance, fast. Basically designed this aircraft for military as well as commercial applications. The military is really interested in this type of aircraft, an aircraft that can take off and land vertically and then stay in the air for 24 hours. There's a real need in the military for that. And so we're going to kind of take some of those capabilities and really show off with this aircraft, like fly for a very, very long way at over 200 miles an hour with a vertical takeoff. Part of our success, though, is we've teamed with some partners that actually are really key to making this thing work. Greg Richter, most of you probably know, the president of Blue Mountain, has come on board, and they're taking care of course, all of our avionics, but even all of our controls, software, new circuit boards, basically all in one package sort of thing. So our goal is to make, and we have the potential to make this the very safest aircraft out there. And of course, Greg is key to helping make this thing really safe and very simple. In fact, Greg, why don't you come up and just kind of talk a little bit about what it is you're doing for us?
Well, thanks, Jay. One of the things I've done, the two forums so far, another one on Saturday on wiring aircraft. Light aircraft seem to be wired the same way now as they were in about 1935. All the wires are white. They're all the same color, impossible to work on. And we have individual breakers for everything. That's not the way you do satellites. It's not the way you do missiles. And that's not the way we're going to do the Cartercopter. Everything's on a single circuit board. It's plug-in modular. You should be able to take this thing apart and fix this if you have a screwdriver and a pair of vice grips in the field. That doesn't mean it doesn't have active mast control, active stabilization. It doesn't mean it's not a very complex and sophisticated pile of electronics. It just means you can actually work on the thing without having to have a PhD or three Marines standing there with oscilloscopes. What we're trying to do is we're trying to make it high-tech but easy to fix and easy to work on. We've got some of the prototype stuff which we actually brought. It's here in the booth over in B if you'd like to see some of the electronics. Some is very, very small and surface mounted. Some of it's very big. The little tiny surface mount stuff is field replaceable as a box. The big stuff is field fixable with a wrench. It's interesting stuff. If you'd like to see some, we brought some.
Some of the other stuff that he's doing, you know, is pretty amazing what Blue Mountain does. I mean, we're going to have, you know, virtual reality screen, weather in the cockpit, the ability to basically program the aircraft where we want it to fly, and it will take off and fly us to that destination. So basically, we're getting close to the Jetsons, and literally that is kind of our goal here, is to make the aircraft very simple to fly, and you're still going to have a pilot's license, but on the order of what it's like to drive an automobile and the safety along about the lines of an automobile. Some of you don't know, you know, we can lose an engine and we basically come down about the speed of a parachute. And of course, then we have a landing gear that will then absorb that remaining energy. So Greg's working on a system that, if we lose an engine and the pilot passes out, why, he's going to be able to land this aircraft for us, completely autonomous. Now, they're doing this kind of stuff already with our UAVs over in Afghanistan, but there's no reason why we can't do this for our general aviation aircraft, and particularly an aircraft that has the vertical takeoff and landing capabilities like ours does. So, boy, we are really, I can't tell you how excited I am. I get excited when I just start talking to Greg about all the capabilities that he's going to be able to incorporate into this aircraft. So, Greg is key. I can't say enough good stuff about him. He's kind of the innovator type stuff that likes to do stuff new and different, kind of like what we like to do. And so we have a great relationship. So, Greg, I personally want to tell you how much I appreciate you being on board. Lycoming is another one that we're really excited about working. They have selected us to showcase their newest engine, which basically is like an automobile engine. It's basically their standard engine that they've been building for the last 50 years, but now they've incorporated all the new avionics and what they've learned in the automobile industry, such that we have oxygen sensors, NOx sensors, we have automatic feedback, so when the aircraft's flying, it will automatically change the fuel-air ratio so that it's always optimized. It learns as you fly, so it automatically takes care of our fuel-air, so whether we're flying at 5,000 feet or 25,000 feet, regardless of the air temperature, it's always giving us the optimum fuel-air. It even has the ability to run on auto gas, so it can automatically sense that the octane rating is different and automatically adjust the engine so that now that we can run with auto gas. So, you know, we have that capability of being able to land at a truck stop and then just pull right up to the pumps and fill up with gas. So this engine just adds another level of convenience there, just being able to pull up, and if aviation gas is not available, why then we'll fill up with 93 or 88 octane gas and go again. So they've been really supportive with us. They've had their technicians down to help us get the engine ready to go in the aircraft. So anyway, we're really delighted to have Lycoming on board as well. Rather than get into some of the other details about our aircraft, I'm giving a forum on Saturday, 11:30 in Building 11, and we'll talk about where we are today and all the testing that we've done and go into more detail on the capabilities of this aircraft. It's pretty excited about it. Pretty excited about it.
We'll be back for more with Jay Carter Jr. of Carter Aviation Technologies in a moment. You're listening to a special feature from Aero News.
An easy flight is a safe flight. That's why L3 Avionics Systems designed the most advanced glass cockpit system available to be intuitive and easy to use. The SmartDeck integrated flight controls and display system shows you what you need to know when you need to know it. And with the new addition of the Ultimate Synthetic Vision, SmartDeck shows you even more. With SmartDeck, interaction between pilot and aircraft is fluid, and advanced technology puts you in control with an extra layer of safety. Fly SmartDeck to get the ultimate glass cockpit experience at AirVenture or visit SmartDeck.com.
At Cirrus Design, we don't ignore the fundamentals of aviation design. We just give them an ingenious new interpretation. The Cirrus SR20 G2. Interested in a substantial airplane that remains practical and affordable? Whether you're a non-pilot looking to begin flying lessons, a pilot needing personal transportation, or a fleet customer selecting the best plane to meet the demands of a multiple aircraft operation, consider the SR20 G2. To learn more, call 888-750-9927 or check us out on the web at cirrusdesign.com.
Finally, aviation headsets have evolved. Clarity Aloft headsets merge the most advanced technologies from the fields of hearing science, aviation communications, and performance audio into one streamlined design. Clarity Aloft has a noise-canceling microphone optimized for speech frequencies in high-noise environments like cockpits. The low-profile headband is featherweight and comfortable. Hear the difference a Clarity Aloft headset can make on your very next flight. Find out how. Call us at 612-747-3197 or check us out on the web at clarityaloft.com.
Welcome back to the Aero News special feature at Oshkosh, Wisconsin. I'm Paul Plack. We're listening to Jay Carter Jr., Chief Engineer and President of Carter Aviation Technologies, talk about the capabilities of an amazing aircraft called the Carter PAV.
Basically, what we have with a tilting mast This tilting mast is 54, 55 inches long, and it tilts all the way from 15 degrees forward to 30 degrees aft. So what that does is it varies our center of lift of the rotor blade, and it allows the aircraft, regardless of where our CG, so we have a really wide CG range, allows the aircraft to be level for takeoffs and landings. And for an auto gyro or for a helicopter making auto rotation landings, generally, you know, the rotor tilts way back. It gives you the real high angle of attack like a bird coming in and landing, but basically it makes the aircraft always pitch up so that the tail would hit the ground first. So generally in an auto rotation landing, you have to flare high and then let the aircraft swing back so that the tail doesn't hit the ground. But by being able to tilt the mast aft, that enables the aircraft to stay level so that when we come in and make an auto rotation landing, it is a piece of cake. I mean, it's just you come in, the aircraft is level. This is all done automatically, and Greg here is the one that's supplying the controls and the sensors and everything that keep the aircraft level. And even as we start to do the flare, the aircraft still tries to stay level. So it makes it really easy to do a flare zero roll landing. Also, when we take off and we want to accelerate really fast, like a helicopter will tilt the nose over because it's got to tilt the rotor over in order to provide that forward thrust component. For us, we just tilt the mast forward. It allows the aircraft to stay level. So now then we can really accelerate fast. And then as we pull the energy out and slow the rotor down, well, then it just automatically starts tilting back, and then it holds the aircraft level. Now, once we get up above between 30 and 60 miles an hour, it starts to transition to where now it holds the aircraft at the optimum angle of attack for that wing. So whether we're at 60 miles an hour or 120 or 150 miles an hour, the wing is always operating at its best angle of attack. Even if it's only producing a third or a fourth or part of the lift, it is still operating at its best angle of attack. So this gives us some really nice performance down at the low and intermediate speeds. So this is all done automatically so that it's totally transparent to the pilot. Now, of course, we've designed it such that if everything were to fail, it's still fail-safe. We just can't fly at its optimum angle of attack except for one given speed for any particular given CG, but we can still fly and we can still get home. So we're trying to make this thing as absolutely fail-safe as we can so that even if we lose power or whatever, which is I'm more concerned about, for some reason we lose power, the thing will still automatically work and we're not going to fall out of the sky. So the tilting mast is a key item in making this thing very efficient. The other thing is the tilting mast does for us is that once we get up to our high-speed cruise and we're basically supported by the wings and the rotor is just along for the ride, we slow the rotor way down, and this is how we get this tremendous efficiency. By the way, this aircraft will be at least twice as efficient as the first aircraft that we built and flew, which was tested by the Army as 1.5 times more efficient than the best helicopter has ever achieved. And they had a 60-year head start. Our first prototype was 1.5 times better. This one will be at least twice as good as that one, which is the reason we can fly 5,000 miles for showing off purposes with this aircraft. Anyway, once we get up to the high speed, we slow the rotor way down, and that's critical to be able to slow the rotor down and hold that rotor RPM. Well, now then, that same tilting mast controls our rotor RPM by just simply varying the angle of attack and the amount of air that's flowing through the rotor. And again, Greg is taking care of all of that for us. So we're pretty excited about those aspects. Landing gear, most of you already know about the landing gear. That's already been tested. It'll handle a 20 to 24 foot per second impact, depending upon the gross weight of the aircraft. It's actually been tested to like 36 foot per second for one time, just as a proof, which means that if we lose an engine in the dead of night and we don't even know where the ground is, will come down at a low enough speed, but what the landing gear, even if we didn't flare, the landing gear will absorb that remaining energy. So unless you hit a tree, fall off of a cliff, or hit a building, you're not going to hurt the aircraft or the people inside. And that would be a landing in the dead of night. I mean, you just not many aircraft that can provide that level of safety. So landing gear, the tilting mast, the propeller, we have a design on our propeller, and again, Greg is going to be providing the controls for the propeller, but our propeller is not like your conventional constant speed propellers. It's actually designed to optimize the efficiency of the prop so that whether you're flying real fast or you're a lot of horsepower or you back off on the horsepower, it's always operating at best efficiency. Most of your propellers are all constant speed props, so ours varies based on true airspeed and horsepower that's going into the prop so that we're always optimized. So it's a different wrinkle, and of course that takes some sophistication in our controller, which again, Greg's bringing to the table on that. So I can't tell you how much I've told you already how proud I am to have Greg on board to help us out on this stuff. So I think that's of the rotor blade, pretty unique rotor blade. 50% of the entire weight is located in the outboard 25% of the rotor. That's completely opposite of any of the other helicopters. All their weight is there at the hub and the pitch change mechanism and the lead lag and all the mechanism that goes with it. Ours is very simple, so we put all that weight out in the tip, which enables us to store like over 1,000 horsepower in our rotor for a short period of time so that we could, without literally having that capability of hovering, but just from the inertia of the rotor blade, we could literally hover for about 15 seconds, or we can jump 150 feet in the air on just the inertia of the rotor blade. So it gives us this vertical takeoff and landing capabilities without the complexities of a helicopter. So, and again, on that collective, this is another thing that I think is pretty innovative, real proud of. And again, Greg's helping us on this too. But it basically is a totally mechanical rotor collective. So all the pilot does is he basically turns auto control on or off. If he turns it on, from the time we do a jump takeoff to high speed flight where we slow the rotor down to where we slow back down, the rotor RPM picks up to where we come in and make a zero roll landing, it is all 100% automatic and all mechanical. There's no other aircraft out there that can do that. And that takes away the possibility of the pilot making a mistake relative to the collective. The first aircraft that we had had a automatic collective, but it also had a manual. And our pilots, well, I shouldn't say they made mistakes, because when you're flying an aircraft that you don't have any real experience with and you've had maybe 15 seconds or 30 seconds of flying time and you do things, you revert back to what your background is, no matter how many times you tell them. So anyway, this way, the collective is totally automatic, so it makes it to where you don't have to have a helicopter license. You don't even have to understand any of what's going on there, because it's going to always operate at the right collective. So we're really delighted about that. Like I said earlier, our goal is to make this aircraft so safe and so simple that it will parallel driving an automobile.
If you want to catch Jay Carter Jr.'s forum at Oshkosh with more detailed explanation of the technology behind the Carter PAV, that's coming up Saturday at 11:30 a.m. in Forum Building 11 at EAA Air Venture. You've been listening to a special feature from Aero News. On the web, you'll find us at aero-news.net. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for listening. Enjoy your weekend. Have a clear and unlimited day.